Hey, you can hear me. Good morning, good morning. It's good to be here. And we just pray as we go throughout the service, you would prepare your hearts. So there'll be a time at the end during the closing songs for you to come forward or also to go to the back for a time of anointing. So this day, we want to make a few announcements. The Haiti team is meeting on August 17th. That's Wednesday at 6:30. So if you're available, interested in going to Haiti, it's still not too late to join that team. And Ashley Landis is our leader. And so Wednesday, August 17th at 6:30, we encourage you to come out. On the 28th, our orders are due for the Women's Fellowship sub sandwiches. So I know those are extremely delicious, and you'll pick those up Thursday, September 8th. So the deadline for those is August 28th. Just a note on the Country Fair, that's the 27th as well. It's always an enjoyable time at the Rarersburg Lions Club. Lions Ground, I'm sorry, and that's sponsored by the Council of Churches. Again, August 27th at 5 p.m. And you can see in the bulletin they're doing a white elephant table, so you can do donations for that and encourage you to do that. And there's any questions, Dolores Hill is your contact, and all this information is found in your bulletin, as long as many other events that are being held. The Young Family Fellowship is on Saturday at 6 o'clock. We'll be at Jean Meyer's home, so bring swimming suits and just a snack or anything to share. So you can come a little bit earlier, I think Jean said, maybe 5 o'clock if you wanted to get a little more swim time in. So we look forward to that this Saturday at 6 o'clock, or if you want to go a little earlier at 5. We want to just note a change for the men's ministry that is at Camp Swatara. On the 27th at 7 a.m., that's Lloyd and Naomi's funeral, or not funeral, Lloyd and Naomi's, auction that day. And so we'll be gathered there anyway and thought we'd have our men's ministry breakfast, and I hear it's going to be a great time. So the 27th at 7 a.m. at Camp Swatara. Any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? I went through those rather quickly, but it's only going to get hotter. So any announcements? All right, let's rise and greet one another. Again, thank you for joining us here at Little Swatara. It's so wonderful to see all of you here.
Come on. Don't worry about it. I get there.
As we're greeting one another, we have a very special birthday that happened yesterday, 94 years old, and my grandmother, Anna Mary. So if we could join together in singing happy birthday to Anna Mary, that would be super awesome. And happy birthday to everyone who celebrated birthdays this past week or upcoming. So let's join in singing happy 94th birthday to Anna Mary.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Father, we just thank you for the gift of life. We thank you we can gather here in your presence with fellow believers, with friends. And we pray, Father, you would open our hearts, that you would continually impress upon us the Spirit's leading. And we pray, Father, as we draw closer and closer to you, we would realize the forgiveness available to us, that we would realize the freedom that we have through the cross. And we pray, Father, that we would sing with joyful sounds this morning, making a joyful noise unto you. Bless each one gathered here this morning, and may you be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Please join us in our first song, Draw Me Close.
I lay it all down now.
You may be seated. Father, we do pray that you would indeed be near to each of us. Father, you know the issues upon our hearts. You know the concerns upon our hearts. And we just come before you now and we lift up those joys and concerns to you as a church family. There'll be a microphone coming around. Simply raise your hand and we'll get that microphone to you. But the presence of the Lord is here with us this morning. And we continue to ask us to draw ever nearer to him. From the first service, we want to highlight Mark Keeney's wife passed away, so keep Mark Keeney and his family in prayer, and a young family, Dan Rentschler, and young children left behind, and a wife, and that was the accident with the rig. We keep him in prayer as well as his family.
I just want to share a joy. The joy I want to share is all the support that we received from the church yesterday at our chicken barbecue. We sold 440 chicken barbecues to raise money for Haiti, so that puts us $2,000 closer on our way to getting to Haiti and being able to provide the food support ministry for the village there in Haiti. So thank you again, congregation, and we just covet your prayers as we continue to prepare for our time in Haiti.
Amen. Amen. You may know Riley Colleen, that's Tracy's daughter. She's been in the hospital overnight, and also want to keep Grace Miller in prayer with some heart issues.
This would be a praise. When I drove in this morning, it was nice to see a long row of trees with lots of shade beneath to park in. So I thought, oh, this is so nice to have shade. And then my next thought was, who was responsible for all of these trees? And my other thought was, it's part of the tradition of the Church of the Brethren, because I remember the Ziegler Meeting House had a huge row of shaded trees. And other brethren churches that I've gone to, it was typically that there would be lots of trees in the parking lot, I guess way back then for the horses. But then Jerry Seiler and Pauline were coming out, and I talked to him about the trees, because I thought he was probably instrumental, and he was, and there were others who helped with the digging and the planting. So I just like to thank the people who thought about putting trees out there. I'm thankful for the shade trees in my backyard, and God is good with nature.
Amen. Thank you.
I just want to thank everyone who's been praying for my cousin and her family. Baby Grayson celebrated his 6-week birthday this weekend, and he is being moved to a step-down unit, which is a private room in the hospital where mom and dad can stay with him and provide most of his care. He's eating well. As soon as he hits 4 pounds, they're going to try to discharge him, so probably another few weeks. Keep her family in your prayers. Her mom, my Aunt Bonnie, went for her first chemo treatment this week, and She seems pretty positive, but it's only the beginning, so keep praying. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let your mommy me. Let your pay me.
He just wants prayer for himself and his health.
Okay. Yes. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather freely. We know across the globe there are many who gather in your name and are being persecuted, and we think of our Nigerian brothers and sisters and continue, Father, to ask your hedge of protection around them. We thank you, Father, for your love that's unconditional given to us. We think of the cross and your son Jesus and what that forgiveness means, that your one and only son died for us that we might be forgiven. And we don't take that for granted, Father. We live each day doing our very best to glorify you. And Father, there are many in our lives that are struggling with the death of loved ones. And we think of the Mark Keeney family and the Dan Rentschler family and the Bob and Wendy Lingle family and the Bonnie Schwenk family and the Diane Schnee family and others that have passed in recent months and years. Lord, they are near to our heart and their legacy continues and their memories continue to flood through our minds. And we just continue to ask, Lord, for those grieving that you would comfort them and allow them to feel deeply your love and your compassion for them. And we know, Father, your son, when he was at the grave of his friend Lazarus, wept, and we weep alongside our brothers and sisters who are grieving now. We do thank you, Father, for traveling through this life with us. We know on our own we try to accomplish so many things, but Father, we just surrender and we ask you through your Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to lead us, and to help us to go the path of the will that you have chosen for our lives, and that we would be about your purpose, about your mission, to share the good news and to speak the truth into others' lives with love. We think of our brother in the back of the church and ask, Father, your healing touch upon him. You know precisely the illness he's dealing with, and we ask if it be your will, you would allow that healing to take place. And Father, we just lift up baby Grayson and thank you for the celebration of just progress and what that looks like for him, and just continue to be with him and continue to allow him to know your presence. And we think of Bonnie as well and the chemo treatments, and just ask, Father, you would give her endurance, just give her strength through those treatments to be able to go through that time. And we thank you for being alongside us each and every step of the way. We think of those in transition and dealing with long-term illnesses, and we just pray, Father, for your special touch, your healing touch upon those individuals, and ask in many cases your grace would be sufficient, for we know those struggles have been for many, many years, and we just pray that if it be your will, you would touch and heal them, Father. We thank you for the Haiti mission team that's forming, and continue to thank you, Father, for the blessings of this congregation and community and the support to raise the funds to go and make a difference there in your name. And just continue to bless that team and allow them to know your presence as they make ongoing decisions. We thank you for the ministries here at this church, the ministries in our community, to reach out and to support one another. And we just think of the country fair and lift that outreach up to you and just pray people would come to know you through that event and so many other events happening in our community and within our church. And we just thank you now, Father, for forgiveness, and ask during these next few moments of silent prayer, you would hear the confessions of our heart as well as those prayers on our hearts. Hear our prayers. We recognize that we were made in your image, and sometimes that image gets scarred by this life and the choices we make. And we just thank you for the cross and the forgiveness that's offered and the empty tomb, that the resurrection is real and one day we'll experience a bodily resurrection. And we pray, Father, as we live this life between our birth and our death, that we would make every moment count. And we thank you, God, for your mercy. For when we fail, you lift us back up. And we just pray that we would walk in that forgiveness and in that freedom. and we would direct our lives towards you, being constantly reminded of your love and your compassion that's poured out upon us. So thank you, Father, for meeting us here in this place, and we pray that you would continually create in us a clean heart. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Offertory scripture this morning comes from Psalm 96, 7 to 8, and it reads, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts."
Thank you.
Father, we present these offerings to you and ask that they would be used for your glory. We thank you for the abundance that you have given us in our lives, and we pray, Father, in that abundance we would continually bless others and ask of your will to be done in our lives in that regards. Thank you, Father, for loving us and giving us the opportunity to freely give. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children, come join me up front. How many of you guys know what that is? What on the screen is?
The inside of a hand.
That's right. Do you know what that is called?
X-ray.
An X-ray, that's right.
Yeah.
Have any of you had an X-ray?
No.
Have any of you had an X-ray? You guys, Aldi, you didn't have one. Okay. Many times when we go to the doctor can't tell what's wrong with us on the outside, they take a picture of what's on the inside. And that helps them find what's wrong with us. To see on the inside, the doctor takes an X-ray. By looking at the X-ray, he can see what's wrong with on the inside, and it can help us with the things you can't always tell what's wrong on the outside. The Bible tells us that man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks on the inside. You can always tell what a person really looks like on the outside. Some people may look beautiful, but inside they might be selfish, mean, and nasty. Some people might not look that pretty, but on the inside they're the most nicest people you'll ever meet. We spend a lot of time making ourselves look good to make sure on the outside, but what we're doing on the inside, we do nothing. When we look at others, we need to remember that what's on the outside, we can only see what's on the outside, but God can see what's on the inside. And what's on the inside, that's what counts. Let's pray. Dear God, help us be more concerned with our inner beauty than our outer beauty, and help us not to judge others by what we see on the outside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats.
Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for joining us here in this place. We thank you for your Spirit working in our lives. We know precisely what's happening in each of our lives, and you know even more so. And this morning we're having conversation about anointing and what that means for us. And we're praying, Father, that you would continually just begin that work in our hearts, that you would stir us, that you would move us to be able to see those areas of our lives where we may desire an anointing. And Father, we pray that you would be glorified during this time. Amen. So this morning, I'd like us to become even more familiar with the basis of anointing. Many scholarly articles tell us that it came to pass from the practice of shepherds. Yes, you heard that correctly. The practice of shepherds. Lice, other insects, would often get into the wool of sheep. And when they got near the sheep's head, they could burrow into the sheep's ear and actually kill the sheep. So ancient shepherds, what they would do is take oil and pour it onto the sheep's head. And here's what happened. The wool became slippery, making it impossible for insects to get near the sheep's ear because the insects would simply slide off. From this, in a spiritual manner, anointing became symbolic of blessing, protection, and empowerment. The New Testament Greek words for anoint are krio, which means to smear or rub with oil, and by implication, to consecrate for office or religious service. Another Greek word, alipho, which translates to massa, means to anoint. The word Messiah comes from that exact words. Now, in biblical times, people were anointed with oil to signify God's blessing or call on that person's life. A person would be anointed for a special purpose, to be a king, a prophet, a builder, or any notable purpose. It went even further. Objects were anointed, such as a shield for battle, the tabernacle, the altar, its utensils, in preparation for worship and service of Yahweh. Oil was also known for cosmetic reasons, with people anointing themselves. It had a soothing effect, and it's believed the fragrant odors produced were so desirable that the lack thereof was actually considered a serious covenantal curse. In today's world, anointing a person with oil is not treated as a light matter. We're certain the purpose of anointing is in agreement with Scripture. It should never be viewed as a magic potion. We don't rub the oil jar and anticipate three wishes from a genie. The oil, in and of itself, doesn't have power. The oil, in and of itself, doesn't have power. Friends, it's only God. Would you say that with me? Only God who can anoint a person for a precise purpose or wholeness within their mind, body, or soul according to his will. So when we use oil, which is typically from an olive tree, it's only a symbol of what God is doing. The symbol is the presence of God's Spirit. Throughout the New Testament, all believers receive the anointing by the Holy One. There's another meaning for the word anointed, which is chosen one. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit to spread the good news and free those who have been held captive by sin. After Christ left the earth, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we've been studying in the book of Acts and realizing its power to influence the world for Christ. Now, let's not lose sight of the fact that all Christ followers are anointed. Would you do this for me this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I am anointed. You see, all followers are chosen for a precise purpose in furthering God's kingdom. 2 Corinthians 1:21 to 22 reads, Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Anointing has been used for generations by the Church of the Brethren as a rite of healing, whether physical, emotional, or even spiritual well-being. We believe God intends people to be whole in body, mind, and spirit. The anointing service opens the opportunity to restore our relationship with God and with the faith community. This time is a means of God's grace and blessing. We remember Jesus and the disciples spending considerable time healing and casting out demons. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of Luke alone records 26 healing incidents. Traditionally, brethren have anointed for the forgiveness of sin, for the strengthening of one's faith, and the healing and wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. Anyone with faith in God may come and be anointed for these reasons or a number of other reasons, including difficult decisions, marital issues, a wrong relationship, making commitments to significant service, depression, anxiety, fear, resentment, guilt, any number of health or emotional reasons. So as you make your way forward to the front or to the back, our closing songs will be sung. The person who's anointing you, whether myself or a deacon, will simply ask you a question. They'll say, "What's the reason you would like to be anointed?" And here's why we're doing that. This provides the person anointing you with direction for prayer as you're being anointed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What we realize is this service itself witnesses to a spiritual reality that moves beyond the most skilled human attention. Consider Mark 6. Jesus sends out the 12. They went and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. We come to this time with prayers of confession, asking God's forgiveness of the sin that has entered our lives. We come forgiven, having prayed, seeking God's anointing of wholeness in our lives. Now, keep this in mind. Even though this happens at a specific time, I ask us to continually pray throughout the weeks and months ahead for healing and wholeness. At one level or another, we've all experienced brokenness in our lives, and we now come seeking His anointing. God's presence is in this place. This isn't a time to gossip. It's not a time to make assumptions why a person is coming forth or going to the back. It's a time for us to be vulnerable and open to the Spirit's leading in making one whole. So in preparation for that, I'd ask us to join together in a unison prayer. If you're able, we're going to repeat this prayer after one another. If you're able, we invite you to be on your knees facing towards your pew if you're able, and we'll ask you to close your eyes and fold your hands as we pray this prayer together. So if you're able to be on your knees and come in that position before the Lord, we'd encourage you to do that. If not, we invite you to just bow your heads for this time of prayer together. Father, we acknowledge the sin in our lives. We confess it to you and ask of your forgiveness. Lead us now as we enter this time of anointing. Stir our hearts, open our minds to receive all you have in store for us. We give of ourselves for your service. Heal our brokenness. Restore our bodies. Make us whole. We love you, Lord, and pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll have deacons come forward with me in this corner, and there'll be deacons back in the prayer room. And during these final hymns, as you feel led or feel moved, we'd encourage you to make your way. If it's not possible to make it to a deacon, if you want to put your hand in the air, we'll gladly come to you as well. So during these closing songs, we invite you to rise and to come for this time of anointing.
Lamb of God, I come.
Father, we thank you for the incredible gift of faith that you have given us. We know, Father, that you have a pleasing, you have a perfect will for each of our lives. And though we don't truly understand suffering, we do know that, Father, you desire wholeness. And we just continue to pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you would allow healing to take place. Many may not have come forward or gone back, but Father, you know our hearts, you know the struggles, you know the direction we're asking for in our lives, and we're just heeding to you, Father. We're surrendering to you, Father, and asking you to continually impress upon us the need to surrender and to let you work out your perfect plan for us. So, Father, we just commit this day to you, we commit this week to you, and we know that your presence is here in this place. And we know that we have each been anointed, we've been chosen, and we ask, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, that you would continually lead us into all truth and help us to understand the reasons that we must shout with the truth of a mountaintop how good and how pleasing your name is. And it's in Jesus' most powerful name that we pray. Amen and amen.